Welcome to Brainstuff, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hey, Brainstuff, Lauren Vogelbaum here. As of 2020, there are nearly 8 billion human beings on the planet Earth. Vehicles of every kind roam the land, air, and sea, often in weather conditions that would have stopped humans in their tracks just a few decades ago. The world is, in essence, getting smaller, leaving few places unexplored. Given those circumstances, what exactly does it mean to be an explorer today? Some would say that exploration is part of human drive, as our curiosity pushes us to seek out new places around us wherever we live, just down the road or across the open countryside, and wherever we don't live, like under the ocean's waves, in deep caves, and into the depths of the galaxy. Well, sure, some of us are fine with plush couches and plentiful pizza, but for others, the call of the unknown is irresistible. And these restless souls find that even in a shrinking world, exploration is very possible if you know where to look. There are adventures to be had everywhere, new sights to see and places to experience, but if you want to go where no one has gone before, you can start by looking up or down. We spoke via email with Eric Larson, a polar explorer and mountain climber. He said, "There are a variety of peaks in areas like Nepal, Pakistan, and China that have yet to be climbed. Exploring the depths of the oceans would be one of the larger tracts of undiscovered terrain, if you could call it that. I know there are probably some areas of the Pacific Ocean that remain somewhat untouched, and definitely parts of the Amazon rainforest as well." Larson has launched some major expeditions. In 2009 and 2010, he journeyed to both the North and South Poles and the top of Mount Everest, all within 365 days, the only person ever to achieve this feat in under a year. It was grueling, though, and took a drastic toll on his mind and body. So why does he do it? He said, "I really enjoy the physical and mental aspects of big expeditions, from the planning and preparation to the decision-making and stress involved in executing these adventures. I like blazing my own trail as well, and being in places that I know no one has traveled previously." These kinds of adventures cost some people their lives. Take Percy Fawcett, who in 1925 disappeared trying to find a legendary city in the Amazon rainforest. Or Sir John Franklin and Francis Cozier, who met the same mysterious fate in the 1840s when they tried to find the fabled Northwest Passage. Larson himself has almost died multiple times. He said, "I've had several very close encounters with polar bears. In 2005, off the coast of Siberia on the Arctic Ocean, we had one jump on our tent while we were sleeping in it. We also were in some pretty sketchy situations in 2015 when trying to climb a peak in Nepal. It took us 3 different attempts, and we were in several situations where a wrong step would have meant death." And as if near death isn't bad enough, there are expeditions' bills to be paid. Those kinds of journeys are expensive, and explorers often search for sponsors to defray the costs. In return for funding, the sponsors might ask for anything from placement of their logo on a jacket to engagement via social media, blogs, videos, live events, and more. And these sorts of sponsorships are nothing new. Going back to the turn of the 20th century, explorers like Ernest Shackleton, who led 3 expeditions to the Antarctic, depended on largely private sponsors to fund their trips. Shackleton struck deals to name glaciers, mountains, and boats after his donors, and even gave one woman's son a place on his team in return for a 2,000-pound loan. The son, Philip Brocklehurst, wound up losing a big toe to frostbite on the trip, but it seems there were no hard feelings. The toe subsequently received a place of honor on the mantelpiece in the family manor. That expedition was part of a larger movement. At a dinner on May 28th of 1904, attended by 50 men well-known in the circles of exploration at the time, the Explorers Club was born, and soon began inviting explorers and scientists to speak of their adventures and discoveries, with the goal of promoting scientific exploration and field study. The Explorers Club is particularly known for its 5 famous firsts, a list of places conquered by members: the North Pole in 1909, the South Pole in 1911, Mount Everest in 1953, the Mariana Trench in 1960, and the moon in 1969. These explorers were breaking entirely new ground. As of 2020, however, most of the Earth has already been witnessed by human eyes. Larson said, The leading edge of exploration today is more about pushing personal limits, trying to do adventures in new, unique, and challenging ways. For example, while people have skied to the South Pole many times, in 2012, I tried to bicycle to the South Pole. He didn't make it. But there are plenty of other examples. Take the incredibly steep pitch of El Capitan's Dawn Wall in Yosemite National Park, some 3,000 feet or 900 meters tall. It's been climbed many times, but in 2015, Tommy Caldwell and Kevin Jorgensen were the first to free climb it. Or there's Alex Honnold, who took it to a nerve-shattering extreme when he climbed the Dawn Wall without any ropes whatsoever in 2018. His climb, which is considered to be one of the greatest athletic achievements of all time, was documented by the National Geographic film Free Solo. Now, you don't have to take on these kinds of extreme adventures if you don't want to. You can leave it to the experts and witness their bravery and perhaps dubious sanity from afar. But no matter how small the world gets, it's clear that there will always be people willing to push exploration just a little bit further. Today's episode was written by Nathan Chandler and produced by Tyler Klang. For more on this and lots of other exploratory topics, visit howstuffworks.com. Brainstuff is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.